A little over a week after the government ended its shutdown and avoided default, Rich Harwood of the Harwood Institute is launching a campaign, says he's reclaiming Main Street.
The campaign starts today in Washington, D.C., and Rich will be traveling the country encouraging Americans to focus on enhancing their own communities in spite of the dysfunction in the nation's capital. Rich Harwood is the president and founder of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation. And Rich, thanks for being with us.
Veronica, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your Reclaiming Main Street campaign. What's the goal?
Well, the goal is that, the government shutdown yet again reminded us about how divided we can be, how our public discourse focuses so much on tearing one another down and focuses so much on what we're against. And I think as I've traveled the country, what I think we need to remind ourselves right now is that in order for us to move past the impasse that we're in the country and to get past the kind of acrimony and divisiveness, we need to remind ourselves that community is a common enterprise, that it's about our shared challenges, it's about reaching for our shared aspirations, and that you can't go it alone in community, that we actually need each other in order to make progress on issues like food security, education, the environment, whatever issues that we're confronting in our individual communities.
So you think making the world a better place and America a better place starts with us? Forget the politicians?
No, we need the politicians and we need organizations and institutions. I feel pretty deeply about that. But I believe that those of us in our communities, individuals, groups, associations like Kiwanis or Rotary, organizations, you know, there are a lot of folks, Veronica, who want to take a different path in the country and in their communities to get together and solve problems. I think we need to identify those folks. I think we need to get together. And to your point, I think we need to send a clear message to those who want to continue the fight of acrimony and divisiveness that we're not going to put up with this any longer and that we expect them to take a different path with us.
Have you seen that dysfunction in Washington trickling down to the communities and in the main streets of America? Or do you think that, we've been doing okay, we just need to sort of regroup?
Well, I think there are two competing realities happening right now, actually. I think, when I go to communities, often the question I ask folks in those communities are, who are the leaders you trust and what are the organizations that you trust? And Veronica, when I asked that question 20 years ago, people would often give me a long list of leaders and organizations. And unfortunately, in many communities, in fact, most of the communities where we've been doing work, people can give me very few leaders and organizations that they actually believe are working in the interest of the common good, not simply their own good. And so I think there are fundamental challenges that exist in many communities. That said, I think in lots of communities, you can look at Detroit as one example, there are pockets of change that are starting to emerge that demonstrate that we still have the capacity, the know-how, the wisdom, the wherewithal, the willingness to come together and do things together.
Now you're focusing.
And so it's really both.
You're focusing on three key actions that people and communities can do to focus and move forward. Tell us about those. What are they?
Well, I think, we've got to start. The best starting point is for us to articulate our shared aspirations that help us understand where it is that we really want to go. And in articulating those shared aspirations, we can begin to understand what we do hold in common and where we can begin our efforts. That's number one. Number two is I think we've got to get people together to do things, to do what I would call shared work, so that we can make a difference on the issues we care about. But equally important, Veronica, is that we can begin to rebuild our trust, meaningful relationships, and our confidence that we can actually come together and do things together. And the third thing I think we need to do is that we need to tell a different story about ourselves. Our story in public life right now in many communities is we can't get things done. We've tried that before. It won't work. We can't get people to work together. And so long as that's our ingrained narrative about ourselves, people will remain on the sidelines and feel as though there's no sense of possibility for moving forward. I think we've got to start telling more stories about how people are coming together, the successes they're having, also the failures they're encountering, and how they've picked themselves up and kept moving.
At this point, we've just come off the government shutdown, as you said. A lot of Americans are incredibly disillusioned with the government. How are you going to convince them that it's time to reengage and start focusing on different things?
It's interesting. About a year or so ago, I took a walk across the country and engaged Americans in very deep conversations about their lives, their hopes, how the country is going, how their community and their families are going. And You know, it was interesting. One of the things that I heard from people time and time again, and this goes back to one of your earlier questions, is that Americans are yearning to reengage and reconnect with one another, not in the sense of coming back into public life into these kind of acrimonious and divisive debates where there's no winner and everyone loses, but where we can find a new pathway forward and actually generate positive action. I believe, not simply because I believe this, but because I've seen it in communities and I've heard people talk about it, that people are ready, but we've got to create different conditions within which people will step forward back into community life.
Now, I want to look at that first thing that you suggest we do, and that is focus on shared aspirations. It's so hard to get people to agree on anything. How do you propose people start to find that common ground?
Well, first, I would say that there's a basic question we can ask ourselves when we're together, and that is, what are our aspirations for our community? Now, notice I didn't say, what are the problems we face and who's to blame? I didn't simply say, what are your aspirations for your own family and yourself? I asked the question, what are our aspirations for our community? And what we find, you know, I just did this in an area called Asylum Hill in Hartford, Connecticut. And there, what folks said is we need a safer, more connected community. And the challenge is there is that there's crime on the street, that the police, when they see groups of people coming together, they see them as loiterers and they push them off the street. And yet people said what we need to do is come back onto the streets, gather together, get to know each other, rebuild our trust, and do things together. If that was the aspiration for a community, that's something people share, it's something that implicates all of us in terms of taking action, and there are steps we can actually take to start moving towards those aspirations rather than remaining in these kinds of acrimonious and divisive debates that take us nowhere other than, as you're suggesting, to drive people back into their homes.
Do you think that by doing this, you know, it's possible to make a bottom-up effect? If people come together at this community level, will it kind of work its way up the food chain to Washington?
Well, if you look at American history, I think the great lesson of American history is that all change started small, whether it's the civil rights movement, women's suffrage, the abolition of slavery, I mean, any number of issues, or as in Asylum Hill, Hartford, the rebuilding of a neighborhood. But again, I think I just want to underscore for those who are listening, I think it is about citizens reengaging and reconnecting with one another. But I also believe that we need organizations and institutions. You know, you have one in Madison. The United Way of Dane County is a really good example of an organization that has turned outward toward their community, that is focusing on issues that matter in people's lives, and that is trying. I think they would say they're not fully succeeding yet, but that is trying to bring people together to take meaningful actions to help the community move forward. We need these organizations to help pull us together. We need the organizations to help organize us in many respects. We need their resources and their talents. So I think we're going to need to come together, citizens, organizations, leaders, institutions, in order to push this forward.
When you say come together, how organized is this? Are you talking about a few town halls or civic leaders? How do you see this sort of playing out, you know, at the ground level?
Well, you know, we're working in lots of communities where there is a process by which people like Asylum Hill, Hartford, where people are actually going through a number of steps together. But I think what's important for today is that you don't need to wait for that. That in order for us, you know, what I hear people hungering for is that we need to restore our sense of belief in ourselves that we can actually come together and get things done. You can start that in your church or synagogue. You could start that in your neighborhood association. If you belong to a book club, you can start it in your book club. We don't need to wait for a big comprehensive process to get going, nor do we need to wait for some kind of permission from Washington, D.C. or our state capitals or our elected officials. People and organizations can start now, and I think we need to do that because as we begin to start and people start to see things happening around them, it sends signals to them that other people care, that they have compassion for one another, that people want to get up and do something, and that we want to make progress together. And those are the signals I think right now we need to send each other, because otherwise the signals we're getting are things like the government shutdown in D.C.,
How do we start to tell different stories? That's an interesting one, because there is, you know, the negative stuff, the fighting and the backbiting and the yelling and the screaming, that's what makes news generally.
Right,
how do we
right.
tell different stories?
Well, you know, I often think of them as civic parables, And, you know, all parables are shareable, and they all sort of have an implicit lesson or moral to it, and they always implicate you, right? Like the religious parable of the Good Samaritan, there's no ending to that story. You could be that person being the Good Samaritan. And so I think the kinds of stories we need to tell are stories where some folks actually came together and they tried to do something. Let's say something as simple as painting a school. And they came out of their homes, they set a goal together, they started to move forward, they realized they encountered some challenges that were unanticipated, they sort of fell down or scabbed their knee, and they had to get back up and sort of brush themselves off. And ultimately, they moved to some kind of success. I think we need to tell stories that have those elements in them. You know, the kinds of stories you might tell at your dinner table around a Little League field on a Saturday or a Sunday, or you might hear at church or synagogue, or you might tell it a book club. The problem right now is that we don't tell those stories enough to each other, and the stories we do tell are these negative stories, which tend to shape our mindset, our attitudes, our behaviors, our sense of belief, whether or not change is even possible.
In the last 20 seconds or so, how optimistic are you that America, at least on Main Street, can come together again and be a more cohesive place?
I'm really, I have no illusions that this is going to be easy, but it's rooted in my experience in communities. As I said earlier, I think there's a hunger in the country for people to reengage and reconnect. We want to help catalyze and trigger that and demonstrate and help people see that there's a different path forward. And I feel really good about the possibilities for making this happen.
All right. Well, Rich, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Veronica.
That was Rich Harwood, founder and president of the Harwood Institute for Public Innovation.
And if you have a story like the one Rich was just talking about, share it with us on the Central Time Facebook page, Central Time on WPR, or email centraltime@WPR.org. Maybe it's something we can talk about on a future show.